On today's Into Your Head number 646, intellectual property squatting, redesigning the boiled egg, how swearing causes species to go extinct, alternative mouth architecture, alternatives to doors, a brand new installment of Shania Grogan's Athai Weekly World News, and lots more. Lot to get on with today. Items that need to be attended to, issues that need to be addressed, topics. We've got lots and lots of topics. We're positively booming to the seams with topics. We've got topics coming out of this mouthful outlet. So now that's what it is. It's an outlet. It's not an inlet. Well, sometimes it's an inlet, I suppose. It's both an inlet and an outlet, depending on what you're doing with it. I suppose that's the most efficient way to have it. Not necessarily the most hygienic way to have it, but it is the most efficient, and thank Christ we've got other outlets as well, because I wouldn't want to have to eat through this mouth if it was the only outlet for everything. No, I can tell you. A bit of fancy toothbrushes and mouthwashes wouldn't be of much use to you then, I can tell you. But no, we're being disgusting now. You're being disgusting, because these are all thoughts that are happening in your head. I didn't say any of that explicitly. I just planted the seeds of thought in your head, and because your head is full of filth and crap and muck, you thought, oh, he's talking about what it would be like if you used your mouth to urinate and crap out of it, didn't you? You fucking did. You disgusting piece of scum. This is what you get for listening to inferior, non-intellectual podcasts, such as, for example, Into Your Head, number 646 for Wednesday. Hello. Two barmen walk into a bar. One of the barmen goes straight up to the bar counter and traverses it, jumps right over it, just like they do on The Dukes of Hazzard. For you older people who remember the TV show The Dukes of Hazzard, they used to climb. Instead of opening the door of their car, they jump in through the window. People used to recognise this. Window is just as much an inlet as a door. In fact, it's even better with a window. You just have to open it and then you jump in through a hole. There's none of this pulling out of the door, which is effectively a wall that you have to pull out. Can you imagine if every freaking house we lived in had a bit of wall on a hinge and you had to pull it out every time you wanted to let some air in? Once you have windows, there's no need for doors. We proved that earlier with the mouth thing. Your mouth doesn't require a big thing to be opened up and dragged along squeaking along the floor in front of you. No, it's just like a window. You open it. If necessary, you can set up a ladder going up to it if you need to put anything big into it, or have a conveyor belt. It doesn't need to be a thing that opens out onto the floor. Although I suppose you could compare it to an overhead sliding rail mounted garage door. Which is a bit like that. You push it up and over. I suppose that would be an efficient design for a mouth too. Let's not go messing with things that have already been working perfectly well for millions of years. Mother Nature has the whole mouthful thing sorted out, I suppose. Although I keep thinking of improvements for it. But I'm not a biologist, and I don't have the same qualifications that Mother Nature has. Does she have any qualifications? Maybe not, but she has experience. I have to credit her with that. She has experience, many millions of years of experience. She's designed mouths for dinosaurs, mouths for amoebas that don't even have enough cells to make them. How does that work? How the freaking hell do you feed an amoeba? There's a question for you. And if you could even get started on an answer, then you have at least some appreciation of what Mother nature does for us. Well, not for us, for the amoebas. But one day you might be an amoeba too. You'll be swimming around in an ocean thinking, how do I control? I don't have anything I can use as a rudder. I don't have legs I can kick behind me. How do I turn around or go up and down or over in the water? I'm just going to float here forever. I might as well just be a... Oh, I might as well be a zero-celled animal. Of course, that was back. I was the first... that was the first computer programming back in those days. We had the first amoeba, which was a single-celled organism. So we had just the single-celled organisms and zero-celled organisms, which were basically nothing, just a vacuum. So you had ones and zeros, natural ones and zeros, and somehow they all got together and designed the computer program that we now know as the human, human life. Life as we know it, the whole universe, everything inside it and outside it, all these things that are blowing up and revolving around suns and exploding and making black holes and white holes and all sorts of other holes, holes for putting food into, holes for burying things in, holes for all sorts of things. Anyway, suffice to say, where was I? Was this a... Oh, yes, this was a two barmen walk into a bar story. Anyway, one of the barmen straight away jumps over the bar and takes his place behind the bar. The other barman decides to be a bit more dignified about it, and he walks around down to the end of the bar counter and opens up the little doorway there that's designed exactly for this purpose, and he goes through it, which is the purpose for which it's designed, and then he walks down the other side of the bar. They both end up in pretty much the same place, though. It's a pretty much the same place. There's more, because there's more than one way to do things. There's more than one, as any religious zealot will tell you, there's more than one way, for example, to the same God. You can be a Christian who worships your man up in the, your man Benedict the 16th. You can go through him, or you can go through that other fellow with the hat, or you can go through that fellow with the cloak over his head, or you can go through Satan. That's called getting lost. Or you can go through, there's loads of routes. It's the same with a bar. If you're working behind the bar, you can jump over it, or you can walk around it in the formal way in accordance to the scriptures laid out by the architects who designed the bar. Whatever. Where are we going with this? Here's a question for you. Where are we going with this? I don't know. It's been going on for 5 minutes and 26 seconds now. I'd like to get another 5 minutes in before the ad break. I'd like to have achieved something, though, as well. There's more to life than just filling up time, you know. If life was just about filling up time, then we could have just made time shorter. We could have decided time is not infinite. We're only going to be here for 3 million years, and this is year number whatever it is, 2,807. Just as a hypothetical example, I don't know what actual year it is. Don't get a smart horse and say it's the year 2012, because the time didn't start at zero. The time started at, we don't know when it started. It started back, way back when, before time was even invented, I can tell you there was time. That's the problem. These things, they don't sit around waiting for humans to invent them before they start running. They just start running. Nobody sat around saying, I want to put some dinosaurs here now, but I'd like the future humans to get a chance to look at them, so I'll put in some sort of technology that will record the dinosaur era for them, and put it in some sort of a time box that you bury under the ground that they can dig up and have a look at. Like those things that all the kids did in the year 2000. They got out a big metal box and they put some mementos of the time and put a thing on it to be opened 100 years from now. What's it called? It's called the time something. Oh, they're always doing it on BBC namby pamby educational television programs like Blue Peter. There was nobody around to do that for us with the dinosaurs, so we had to make do with digging up bones, looking at bones and fossils and bits of oil, solid fuel. fuel. That's from the dinosaurs. And you wonder why it's so fucking expensive to fuel your car. You're fueling your car on fucking dinosaurs. Melted down dinosaurs that have been sitting under the ground for billions of years, turning into peat and moss and turf and coal and gas and oil and electricity, whatever else is down there. And you say, oh Christ, I have to pay 50 whole euros for this dinosaur. It's not like they have to do any work with it. They just have to create it over 150 million years. And it's not like it's rare or anything. You can easily grow a new dinosaur any day and replace it. No. That's called non-sustainable yoketing. It's a bit like a tree that doesn't get replaced on time. If a tree was like a dinosaur, I can tell you, you'd have a whole different attitude to trees. You'd say, oh, look at this, a fucking wooden stick to stir my coffee with. That took 3 billion years to grow, and because I stirred my disposable coffee with it now and thrown it in the bin, I've just wasted a bit of a tree. Well, it's exactly the same with pet. That's what the extremists would have you believe anyway. Anyway, on with the show.
I'm Seanie Groga and this is a Thai Weekly World News. The news that matters. And the matter that's news. A diversion remains in place on Duke Street after 6 ATM users formed an unnecessarily long queue. Each standing 30 metres behind the person in front, in an apparent attempt to avoid intimidating them. Army experts have been called in an attempt to infuse common sense into the situation. Local fuel stations have expressed concern about yesterday's announcement by retail giant Tesco that it is to expand its online grocery service to include home delivery of petrol and other motor fuels. Speaking this morning through what is assumed to be his mouth, local petrol station owner Muddy McPippleton told a Thai Weekly World News that the move would cost him a fortune in lost revenue, as shoppers usually fill up at his pumps before making the 17-mile drive to the nearest Tesco supermarket. Meanwhile, consumer interest groups have warned that the development will inevitably lead to blah, 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 the usual, etc., etc., etc. There's been a further development regarding Athai's historic canal locks, which it recently emerged could not be secured against interference by late-night revelers due to a lack of funding. A permanent art installation in the form of a life-size and realistic replica of a canal lock and gate has been erected in the middle of a roundabout 2 miles from the canal, on the new road linking the north of the town to the N9 motorway. It's believed that the development amounts to Athai Weekly World News' first ever entirely non-fictional local news item. Union officials have expressed concern, saying there's already precious little work for local writers of nonsense humour in the current climate. Finally, the future is bright this morning for Athai's model railway exhibition, after town planners approved an application to rezone hundreds of square miles of unused carpet space under the table, enabling it to be put on the market for residential and commercial use. In a Thai Weekly World eyewitness weather, it looks fine from where I'm sitting, although I'm in a basement studio, so it could be raining cats and dogs outside. Hopefully cute little ginger male cats who've been fixed and have had all their vaccines. I'm Seanie Groga and that was a Thai Weekly World News. Join me tonight on television for a special edition of The Seanie Show, in which I'll be turning the cameras on myself due to ongoing industrial action by broadcast technicians. But for now, a very good morning to you.
You're listening to Into Your Head with your humble proprietor, Neil, from Ireland.
Anyway, back to the two barmen who walk into the bar. I feel I may have started that story a bit too early. It's a bit like with the dinosaurs. I was talking about mouthful architecture or something, and I got distracted and I went far too back and too fucking far back and oh, it's like when people tell you a story about something that happened today and they go, oh, let me start at the beginning. Let's see. I was born in 1924. I was brought up by Nazis, but they weren't. They were non-practicing. They brought me up well. I never practiced a bit of Nazism in their lives and therefore they weren't very good at it. So luckily it all turned out well for the next generation. generation of their family. So her generation got cleaned out. But no, anyway, the two barmen, I started too early with that story. The two barmen walked into the bar and accessed the bar area in different ways. Let's fast forward now. They've done all their setting up for the day. The bar is open. All the glasses are ready and out and waiting to be filled in return for money. It's about 2 hours later now, and two cats walk into a bar, the same bar. I say a bar, but it's the bar. Well, just in case you're just joining me, it's a bar, so avoid confusion. Two cats walk into a bar. One of the cats goes straight up to the bar counter and says, "Hello, can I have a pint of your finest? What'll I have today? Smiddix, please. It's a type of carbonatory typey red ale or something like that. I used to like it for a while. If you put a bit of red lemonade in it, it's all. You foreigners don't have red lemonade, and us non-foreigners don't usually either, because it's disgusting. But for some reason, I liked it for a while. I also liked it as a child, or was led to believe at the time that red lemonade was the main type of lemonade, but it's not. Yellow lemonade is the right one. If you went to a shop here now, you have a choice between white lemonade and red lemonade, and it's usually the red lemonade that you give to old people to put in their whiskey, but you could also pour a bit of it into a pint of Smiddix and it'll make a Smiddix shandy, and that's what the cat is after here. He's after a pint of Smiddix shandy, which, if you ask me, is asking to be ripped off, because you get less than a pint of Smiddix, because you have to leave room for the freaking red lemonade, so you get less than a pint, unless they're going to give you an extra bit of egg cup for the extra liquid. That seems like a lot of trouble. Why would they have egg cups in the pub? Even pubs that do bar food, they don't need for egg cups. Any time that they're selling eggs, they're going to be either fried scrambled. So you wouldn't put fried or scrambled egg into an egg cup. Although, why not? Why wouldn't you? Maybe you should. Maybe you should live a bit. Next time you're having a fried egg, put it into an egg cup and see how that works out. Maybe it won't. If you do it properly, put the yellow part. No, put the white stuff. Make the fried egg and cut out the white part of the egg and cram that into the egg cup, and then get the yellow part as a lid and put that on top. That would look attractive. If you did that on MasterChef, I can tell you they'd say, "Oh, I like your presentation there. It's different. You've highlighted the inside of the egg by putting it on the top. And incidentally, where's the shell? Please tell me you removed that from the white stuff." Anyway, suffice to say, it's time for a break. It's time for a fucking break now. We'll come back to this later, maybe.
Into Your Head comes out Wednesdays and Saturdays. Need more? Subscribe to the free reruns and extras feed and shut your stupid ugly face. See intoyourhead.com/archive for details.
Remember, we value the opinions of you, the humble and ignorant listener. Email studio@intoyourhead.com.
Support the podcastual arts at no cost to you. Just click through the Amazon link at intoyourhead.com whenever you go shopping for anything, even if you use Amazon UK or Canada. We'll take your weird foreign money here. We're not proud. Just visit intoyourhead.com and click on the appropriate Amazon banner. Monkey nuts. That's what they call them. Monkey nuts. Into your head. Monkey nuts. That's what they call them. We're steaming piles of monkey nuts. Into your head.
Monkey nuts. That's what they call them. They call them big, steaming, dolloping piles of monkey nuts. They call them big, shit-spewing, arse-wiping. Oh, no, wait, that's a contradiction in terms. Or is it? Is it now? Let's have a think about this. Because you get one of those dinosaurs again. They spew shit for those decades upon decades, and then they die, or they used to anyway, because they're all dead now. There's no more more dinosaur death going on. He found the cure for dinosaur death, I can tell you, and it was the extinction of the dinosaurs. So don't be... incidentally, if you ever hear anyone say in a couple of hundred years, there's going to be a cure for human death, there's going to be no more human death. If you ever hear anyone say that, it's a con. They're talking about curing human death in the same way that they cure dinosaur death, by just expiring us all, getting rid of us all. They said, oh, look, if you give me $1 million, I'll instantly cure all human death immediately. And they put $500,000 into a giant nuclear bomb and kill us all, and then they run off with the other $500 million or whatever it is. It's all a scam. It's the sort of thing you'd expect from what's-his-face. The baddie on one of those superhero things. Lex Luthor, or the likes of someone like that. They're always coming up with schemes. Or the foreign fella with the glasses on Die Hard. Oh, they're always going around, look at me, I'm a bad person, I've got some scheme that I'm devoting my life to. Break into a bank and then kill everybody and then take over the world. They used to make fun of this. They used to make light of this on the children's cartoon Animaniacs. Oh, there was a thing called in the middle called Pinky and the Brain, and they'd say, what are we going to do today, Brain? And he'd say, the same thing we do every day, Pinky. We're going to take over the universe. Ho ho ho, isn't it hilarious? On a fucking children's entertainment program, they joke about doing the sort of thing that Hitler wanted to do, and we all thought it was hilarious. And you let your fucking children watch that. And oh no, put a bit of thought into this, parents, for fuck's sake. Would you let your child listen to this? Would you? You would not. You would not. And if you do, you're a stupid bitch, because it's full of language for a start. It's full of language. Languages all over. Well, there's one language. I usually stick to the English. I can do a bit of Irish as well, though. Cain for gorillon, gorillon, gorilla, igdousa, lesh on cat, moshe to hully, agazong will, caligum, dulgadi on leperous. Now, there was no bad language in there. Well, technically bad. Probably got some of the grammar wrong, because I'm not a Gaelgore expert. And I also used the word toilet in Irish, which some of the less open-minded among you would consider rude. You say, you can't say toilet on the fucking internet radio. Give us a fucking break. People are going around using words like toilet everywhere. That's the beginning of the end. We might as well go the way of the dinosaurs then. That's what might have happened to the dinosaurs, according to some of these people. They say, oh, the dinosaurs are doing fine. They had these huge bodies, and they were going around eating trees and all. And then one day, someone tempted one of them with a snake. They said, I'll give you a go on this snake if you say the word toilet 3 times to your mother. And then it all went downhill from there, I can tell you.
You're listening to Into Your Head, hosted by Neil.
Absolutely fantastic.
Now, I know what you're thinking there. You're thinking he was supposed to come back to the two cats walk into a bar story, wasn't he? He said before the promotional items interruption, or as some would call a commercial break, but I wouldn't, because it wasn't all that commercial. It was just a thing saying, basically, please use my Amazon links when you're going Christmas shopping. At least I hope it was that one I put in. If I didn't, please use my Amazon links whenever you do your Christmas shopping. Just go to intoyourhead.com. It helps the show enormously. Click through my Amazon banner and proceed to shop as normal, and I get a generous cut. The cat thing. Yes, you're thinking he's left the cat story behind. He's gone on to something else, and he's not ever coming back to it ever again. It's left open, basically, for people to move in. It's like when you abandon a house and people take, oh, I've got squatter's rights there. So you're thinking you've got squatter's rights on my two cats walk into a bar story. Well, no, you don't. Because for one thing, you don't have the basis of the story. Just because I hadn't finished it telling the story doesn't mean I hadn't already thought it through in my head. I had the idea, and if you come in and declare squatter's rights on that and decide to take over the story yourself, then you might as well have stolen one of Stephen King's ideas notepads. please, and wrote the book yourself. No, that's stealing. That's stealing. I'm not going to tolerate stealing of my intellectual property. Intellect, that's what it is. Intellectual property squatting. That's what it's called. Oh, I might call the show that. Hold on a second. I was trying to look for a name for today's episode. I was going to call it These Mousel Outlets. But if you think I've been going on too much about Moutle Outlets recently, so I think I'll call it Intellectual Property Squatters. Squatting, that's what we'll call it, because it sounds a bit vulgar. To get the young people in, if they see squatting in the title, they'll think, oh, intellectual property, that sounds a bit boring. But squatting, that sounds like someone squatting over a toilet. Not in a good way either, I can tell you. So it gets them in. You have to be sales-minded, unfortunately. Even with stuff like this, you have to think, oh, what'll get the young vulgar people in. So you put in the word squatting, you put in maybe a picture of a toilet as well. I don't do that anymore. I used to put a picture of a toilet sometimes in the album art, but I've decided it's more important to have branding, so I have the same album art pretty much every week now. It's a picture of me with a cat on my head, standing in front of some sort of a canyon, designed by Cork blogger Gamma Goblin. See intoyourhead.com/chancer incidentally. But it's all about the branding now. You have to have the same cat on your head picture wherever you go, in iTunes, on the website, in the various applications. If you were to come round to my house now, you'd probably see a picture of me with a cat on my head. Except there isn't, because this isn't a fucking public office or a shop. Oh no. But if there was, I can tell you, the big studio reception at Into Your Head headquarters here in Central Ireland would have a big cardboard cutout of me with the cat on my head and the words Into Your Head above it, and there'd be no deviation from that branding. It's all about consistency. That's what it's about. And just like with food, the consistency is important. It's the same with fecal matter as well. You probably want me to go down that road as well, do you? Well, no, I'm not going to. Consistency, suffice to say, what's that thing I say? There's a thing I say. Hold on, I'll pause this and I'll dig her up for you. A little morsel for those vulgar people. Hang on a minute, I'll dig her out. Here we go. Me again. Some time has passed because I pressed pause, just like in the Police song. Here we go. A year has passed since I wrote my note. I should have known this right from the start. Except what he doesn't go on to say is this. The thing that I use sometimes in my, when I want to entertain people on the social networks, I don't have anything to say. I refer to my list of funny writings for reuse. Number 87, this is for the vulgar people. Yeah, entertain you. Three-legged stools made of dark oak and bearing unusual patterns on the top should always be brought to the attention of your doctor for further investigation. There you go. There's the vulgar young people satiated for another day. We can go back to the intellectual stuff now. Anyway, the two cats walk into the bar. As I say, he orders the Smiddix. Oh yes, that's where I got the distracted. I was talking about the Smiddix shandy. I thought maybe when he pours the lemonade in and he has to leave out part of the pint of Smiddix to make room for the lemonade, or saying maybe he would maybe he should, hold on a minute. Hello, it's me again. Got distracted there by a domestic query. Where was I? I have no idea. Where was I? Oh yes, the Smiddix with the I was explaining how I got diverted on the egg cups there. So now I think that's pretty much wraps up the story there. It was just a tool to get me onto egg cups and redesigning the boiled egg, which I think you'll agree we did pretty effectively today. We looked at redesigning the boiled egg. We also looked at extinct, going extinct, how swearing may cause species to go extinct. This is a recap, incidentally. Starting alternatives to doors. I think I might have done a typo then. A new installment of Seanie Grogan's A Toy Weekly World News. Something. Alternatives to doors. Here we go. This is all a bit behind the scenes for my liking. I don't know about you. You probably like this kind of stuff. If you like this kind of stuff, come in any time and have a look in here. Bollocks. What's that even mean? It means fuck all. That's what it means. It means we're nearly done here. It means we're nearly done. Well, I'm done as regards recording. I have to spend the next hour putting this together now. And putting her up on the internet. I have to put her up on the internet. It's not like the old days when you just broadcast us through a fucking illegal pirate mast that you had hidden on top of your roof. And you're all surprised when the cops came round and they said, "Are you operating a pirate radio station in here?" And you said, "No." And they said, "Are you sure you don't want to reconsider that?" And you said, "They say no." And they say, "Would you mind coming out here the front for a moment?" And you say, "Not at all, officer." And they bring you out in their front garden and they'll point up at the thing on your roof. It'll be a frigging 24-foot radio mast. And they'll say, "Would you mind me asking what's that for?" And you'll say, "It's to pick up BBC Radio 4 Longwave." And that's where they catch you out. Because a mast like that would be for getting FM receptions, not longwave radio. Longwave aerial is a whole different kettle of fish. Longwave radio, you have a thing wrapped around a coil. It's usually either built into the radio set, which is why you have to rotate it sometimes, or else it's a separate thing. Well, you wouldn't be putting the hook on a metal mast on the roof. Christ, no. Any passing cat who runs up that will get caught up in the coil for a start. Anyway, suffice to say, good morning.
Sit, Bowsy. Sit.
Good cat.
Good hubby.
IntoYourHeadPodcast.com.